All right, welcome to Ask a Relationship Coach podcast. This is your host, Jenny Morrow, and today is my first day doing this podcast via video. So you might be listening on the audio on one of the podcast players, or you might be watching this on YouTube or one of the video players. So one of the things that I want to try to do is go through this and just answer the question and not do a lot of editing on this. So part of the goal as I'm doing video is to have a chance to connect with all of you face to face, because I know sometimes that can feel more personal if you like that option. Another thing is just to get used to answering questions and not having to go back and do a lot of editing on it. So I'm just going to give this a try today and see how that goes. So Bryce is on a call today. At this time, he's not going to be joining me for this question, but he will be back. So today I wanted to answer a question from a listener who has left her religious practice and is trying to navigate how to deal with her relationships with her spouse and family members after leaving her religion. So this is an area where I've done a lot of work with individuals and couples due to my own experience of religious transition about 10 years ago. And Bryce and I do a lot of work with couples who are in mixed religious situations, or one is where one is still religious or is religious, one used to be and no longer is, or one is now secular or atheist and one is religious. So even though the principles that we teach in those mixed religious situations are the same that we teach in all kinds of situations with differences, religious differences can be a very like core connected to sort of fundamental identity situations. And because of that, they can be very emotionally intense. There can be quick triggers. So when we're talking about navigating religious transition, it can be really, really intense. So I'm just really grateful for the question asker for sending in something about this topic. Hopefully it can help a lot of people. Even if you're not in a mixed religious situation, it can help you understand how do you begin to process what happens when you and other people are all in a growth process, because we all are. As humans, we have this opportunity moment to moment, day to day, to continue evolving and growing and expanding our awareness and looking at what is true about life and what do I want? What do I want out of my life, and how do I begin to create the things I want while still being true to my values? And whether that's being a healthy person, whether that's safety, whether that's fun, you know, how do I create what I want and maintain health and safety and joy and honesty? So today the question asker asked, she said, how do you process spouses and or deeply important family members placing complete blame for anxiety and or depression on straying from the covenant path? Seriously, when our world is falling apart and we need love, I'm guessing she's saying when her world is falling apart and she needs love, she is experiencing that she's being given disdain and blame. It's catastrophic to being able to ever be vulnerable or trusting. Intimacy after years of disdain? Okay, so it sounds like your question is, can there be intimacy after years of disdain? That's kind of like your very last question. But you also asked a question in the beginning, which is, how do you process spouses and or deeply important family members who are placing complete blame for anxiety and or depression on you straying from the covenant path? Okay, so I'm going to add in a few words here just to make sense of the question for the other listeners. So you're saying that if your spouse or your important family members are placing their blame for why they're feeling anxious or depressed, right? They're seeing you stray from the covenant path. They're seeing you leave the religious practice that you were once a part of, and they're experiencing anxiety and blame. And then they're experiencing anxiety and depression. And then they're putting that blame for why they're experiencing that onto you. And you're saying, first of all, you're saying, you know, I need love, and I'm needing support right now because it feels like my world is falling apart, and yet I'm getting disdain and blame. How do I deal with that? And it feels catastrophic to ever being able to be vulnerable and trusting. Will I ever be able to experience intimacy if this goes on for years? I think that's what I'm getting from your question. So hopefully I'm reading that right. Okay, so man, this is just such a big one I see for people who are navigating through the growth process in a lot of areas, but religion can be a big one. And any topic where there's been a sort of expectation that you are going to follow a certain path. So it could come through religious experiences, it could come through a career, but religion does tend to have a sort of flavor to it because it can be so fundamentally connected to people's identity, like we talked about. Okay, so how do you process it? Let's start with that very first question. Also, for all of you watching, I'm totally just taking a tangent here. Bryce and I just moved into a new house, and the decorations are not up. It is not feng shui. Anyways, I get that. The lighting's not great right now. You're going to sometimes hear jets when we're recording from here because we are right up by an Air Force base. So it's pretty amazing. We can sometimes see right out the window here. I can see jets go by doing their drills, and it is actually, I really liked it, but it can make for some loud moments when I'm recording and I'm in sessions and stuff. Okay, so that's just a little side note, side tangent, but it feels so good to be here connecting with all of you in spite of the lack of it feeling totally perfect or ready to be recording. I don't know, it just feels really nice today, so that's cool. Okay, so back to the question. Okay, so for you, and I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to say longing for understanding. Okay. And actually what I keep getting is longing for connection. Like you're really wanting to be seen. You're wanting to be heard. You're wanting to be understood. You're wanting those around you. Probably I'm guessing you're wanting those around you to say, well, I see how hard this is for you. I see that it feels like your world is falling apart. We are here for you. Even though we're choosing to stay in our religion, we love you and we are here for you. You know, I'm guessing that's something close to what you're longing for emotionally, at least in your relationships. Now, what's tricky is that is so often not the response people get when they're making a move like this. And it can feel really tricky to process. Now, the reason it can feel tricky to process is because you're coming from an paradigm. You're coming from a past paradigm where the idea was that if we stay in the same perspective and if we hold the same views and we're similar in that way, then we all get to be a part of this thing together, right? So it's tricky because as you're leaving that, in a way you're still there mentally, right? The idea is that, I don't know if that's totally true, but something about it is true. I think there's some aspect of that that's important, which is that other people are going to be able to see things the way you do. They're going to be able to understand why you're leaving. And while that might happen over time and while one day they may understand it better, the truth is the only way people can understand you is if they would be able to put themselves in your shoes and really understand themselves. So, for example, we always treat other people the way we are currently treating ourselves. We currently treat other people the way we're currently treating ourselves. Your family, your spouse is treating you the same way that they are currently treating themselves. So what that basically means is that if they are getting anxious or depressed, if that anxiety or depression is getting triggered by seeing you question things and make new choices or set boundaries around your old religious ways or actually leave the religion, if they are getting depressed or anxious about that, that is good feedback that they are treating you the same way they're currently treating themselves. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with the fact that some people are not ready or able to question their beliefs, right? Now, they may come to a completely different conclusion, So I've seen this. I've seen where situations where people have loved ones who leave a religion, and as often the most often the clients I'm working with are people who are leaving the Mormon religion, but it could be any religion. So often I will work with clients and they will see someone they love leaving the religion. Most often it triggers anxiety, depression, intense feelings. But I also sometimes see where someone's really okay with it. It's like, that's not the conclusion I've come to, but it's okay with me that you're asking those questions. It's okay with me that you're deciding how to navigate your relationship to the religion. The reason they're able to do that is because they've been able to do that for themselves, or they're currently doing that for themselves. Does that make sense? So it's tricky because it's like, we want love and support. Our world is falling apart, but we're asking people to do something for us that they probably, and actually I'm just going to be really opinionated about this because this is really my opinion. They can't do that for themselves. So how would they be able to do it for you? Right? Sometimes when we can start to realize this, it can start to release the pressure. It doesn't change that you don't want the support, that you don't want to be seen and heard and understood. But it helps us to start to say, it may help you to start to say, okay, I'm going to need to go to places where there are people who've been able to do that for themselves, regardless of whatever conclusion they've come to. They've been able to give themselves permission to question their beliefs and choose how they want to navigate their relationship with their religion. Maybe they choose to stay in, maybe they choose to stay out, but they've really been able to give themselves fully that permission to such an extent that they can give it to me with grace and understanding and hear me, right? And they can hear it objectively, that it doesn't get all mixed up with the emotional triggers, right? So again, the emotional triggers are just letting you know that's something they're dealing with inside of them. Emotional energy, the anxiety, the depression, right? So anxiety is going to be like intensifying of the energy. Depression is going to be a flattening, trying to press the energy or the desire down. When I say energy, it's like a desire, right? Anxiety is like desire energy intensifying. Depression is trying to push down desire energy. So when they're experiencing depression or anxiety, they may say it is about you, but it never ultimately at its core. Even if something you're doing is triggering it, it's coming from something, it's coming from a desire inside of them that's not fully been worked through and resolved, right? Once they do that, once they give themselves permission to face what that energy is inside of them and they do the work around it, then they're able to be with you in your experience without it triggering that stuff up. But it has to be okay that it does trigger that up for them because it's where they are. And if you're trying to resist that, or if you want it to be different, then you will continue to suffer. So what you're going to want to look at is, how does their depression and anxiety, and or their blaming of their depression and anxiety on you, what happens for you? What does it trigger there? It might trigger your depression or anxiety. It might trigger your anger. It might trigger your sadness. Whatever it's triggering in you, that's the piece you're going to want to work on, which is what you're doing by writing in this question. You're trying to understand it. You're trying to process it. So I really, really honor and acknowledge you for that practice. And probably what will be most helpful is connecting in with a mentor, whether it's through reading a book, listening to a podcast. Hopefully this is helpful, whether it's getting some actual support and coaching or therapy, but connecting in with a mentor and or mentors, people who have gone through it, who can be with you in your experience. Even if it's an author that you're reading their book, it's like they can be with you in your experience and they're not triggered by it because they've given themselves permission to question things and they've given themselves permission to land where they need to land, even if that means making some changes. Okay. So this isn't personal. The fact that they are blaming you is not personal. It's a very normal response when we don't yet understand how to deal with our emotions. And you know, we can question our religion, but even people who leave religion sometimes don't know how to do this, right? So when I work with clients who have left a religion, or couples where one's in and one's out, they're still often learning the same thing, which is how to navigate and understand the difference between logic and emotion and how to interact with the dance between those two and then how to do that together. Because so many of us feel triggered, right? and then we blame. And it's not uncommon when you feel blamed that you feel triggered and then you blame back, right? Nothing wrong with it. That's just what's happening. Okay, so seriously, when our world is falling apart, we need love, we're given to stain and blame. So, yep, and that's just the reality. That's not a bad thing. It's just what happens when you're trying to get understanding from someone who isn't yet able to give you that because they wouldn't do it for themselves yet, right? So they wouldn't be able to do it for you yet. Now, what you can do is you can start to stand up for your need and model it. That's one of the most loving, compassionate things you can do for yourself. It's one of the most loving, compassionate things you can do for them. And it just can take a lot of repetition and a lot of patience. And you get to decide how much of that repetition and patience you want to put in based on how much you value certain relationships. So you just continue to model the need, which is, which can be many things. Let's say in the example here, the need is, I need to know that you still love me, even though I'm making this choice. I need to know that. And if they say, well, I can't do that for you. I can't give you that love if you're choosing this. Then you may need to say, then I want you to know I'm still here for you and I need to take some space. You know, I need to take some space. And when I'm ready to come back and navigate a space where I'm not able to feel that love, then, you know, I'll come back or you can come get me when you feel ready. Sometimes it's just giving space. It's really allowing it to, allowing them permission to sit with their own feelings and be with them and saying, you know, I need to know that even though you're experiencing this, even though you're feeling this depression and this anxiety, even though you're getting triggered by what I'm doing, even though you're having these emotional reactions to what I'm doing, I need to know I still matter to you. You know, it's important to have these conversations. And sometimes I'll be able to say, you do still matter. I do still love you. I just feel like you shouldn't do this. Or I just think that if you could, you know, read something that maybe you'd come back into the religion. And you just have to model it. You just have to say, I understand that's what you want. Thank you for sharing your desire with me. And that's not true for me. I am not interested in reading that or in coming back right now. I'm not interested in that. And I want to keep understanding each other. And then again, you may have to give some space. And sometimes the space ends up being years. Sometimes the space ends up being a divorce. But it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. It depends on a lot of different conditions around it. And but if that is the choice that we make or the choice that's made for us from another person, if they decide I can't be around you and I need space from you and we just kind of have to deal with that and find a way to navigate their boundary if they're choosing not to be around us. If something like that is going on, then, you know, get support. Because even if you decide to do the work together, it's just, man, more and more, I think here's what's popping up. More and more, I'm realizing that religion's really not the issue. Religion and however people are navigating religion is like a manifestation of a current level of consciousness. And it's hard to assess where we are, right? Because we may say, oh, I'm more conscious than that person, or I'm less conscious than that person. Usually we feel like we're more conscious than other people. Sometimes we're aware enough to sense that maybe someone is wiser than us. They've navigated something we haven't yet navigated. And so we're able to kind of see that clearly. But if you're in a position where your consciousness is increasing, you're able to see more clearly, to expect the someone whose consciousness isn't there yet to give you that space is just going to cause a lot of suffering. And again, most of us navigate our relationships, even as we're transitioning out of religion, or even if you're in a mixed faith or a religious marriage, you're still responding to your relational dynamics the same way you always were. And that's the problem. The problem isn't really the religion. It's that is that it's going to take a new type of relating to actually get that change. So if you haven't gone to my website and looked at the free web class I offer there, the Intimacy Blueprint, go check that out. And at some point I'm going to change it so that it's more clear. Right now I just put up the video that's like the first video in the full 20 video master course that I have that's out. So people can go and watch this first video. You can just see the map of how intimate relationships work. But ultimately I'll change it and get more detailed, because basically what it shows is on one side is what I would call a traditional relationship or traditional relationship dynamics, right? So we respond in traditional relationship dynamics. The way you're talking about it here lets me know that you're currently in a masked state. You're currently withholding probably some things that you're needing, and you're actually responding from a traditional relationship mindset here. On the other side is what I call an empowered relational mindset and or empowered relational dynamics. Here's where we show up in a way where we're being really authentic about our needs, and we're making requests, and we're honestly sharing desires, and we're giving permission for others to be where they are. So sometimes it's easy for us to try to make demands of our loved ones, especially when we're in pain, that you need to see me, you need to hear me. But that's really comes from a traditional relationship mindset, which is often how a lot of us experienced religion. So you're coming out of religion, but you're not necessarily coming out of this traditional relationship mindset. And so it can feel a little bit, you can still get stuck, right? So there's nothing wrong with that. If you go and watch the video, you'll learn there's nothing bad or wrong with the traditional relationship or the masked state. It's just how most of us were conditioned or taught or modeled how to navigate intimate relationships. Now, the last thing I want to say about this is that, you know, you said intimacy after years of disdain, ? And I don't know if when you say intimacy, I don't know if you're meaning physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, or both. I'm going to talk about it in terms of both. So intimacy is one of those things that we all have a capacity for it. Like I think about it as a circle, and we all have a certain capacity for intimacy, and intimacy is energy, right? It's desire basically. And we feel it as energy, and it can come across really dark when we're in a masked state, or in a traditional relationship mindset. It can come out as just all sorts of stuff that doesn't feel good, or it can come out as, manifesting and expressing it in really clean ways where we actually get the outcomes we want, when we're showing up in that more authentic place and doing the work there. But yes, intimacy can come after years of disdain if you understand what the disdain is about. Now, if you're taking the disdain personally and it's making you feel smaller or not okay in your relationship, then that can definitely squelch intimacy, because you're squelching yourself, right? And this is really, oh man, it's so tricky, because I don't ever want anyone to stay in anything unsafe. If something feels unsafe and you're feeling malnourished or getting smaller and you're not able to get the nourishment you need or feel bigger or stay healthy, then you really want to set boundaries in that relationship, to the point where obviously if there's something like physical abuse, you want to get safe and figure out how to navigate that relationship in a healthy, safe way, if it's possible, and or how to get out of it with professional help. You want to do that if it's not safe, right? So here you're talking about disdain and blame, which can feel a bit like hits at times, right? So it's not the same level, but it can still have an impact, and it can definitely still have an emotional impact. But here's the other thing. If you can stand up and say, I'm not taking that, right? And now if it keeps coming and you can't, if someone's bigger than you and stronger than you, you've got to get out and you've got to get safe. Okay. But if that's not the case, if it's like, oh, I don't like this, it's not comfortable, and it is kind of wearing me down, but I do have a partner to whom I can stand up and say, enough, you know, you go sit with your own feelings. I understand that you want to blame me for your depression and anxiety, and I'm not okay with it. And right now I'm not strong enough to help you process it, because I'm trying to process my own stuff. If you have a partner with whom you can do that and or get help together so that you can actually process together and and help supporting each other, then navigate that. But yeah, intimacy can come after years of disdain if you can both see it clearly, but intimacy will always have its limits, and they're always going to be limited by that disdain as long as it's there. So if there's disdain, you know, that is going to limit the intimacy that can happen in a relationship. There's always going to be limits though, right? I'm not saying to put up with disdain. I'm saying have conversations, see if you can increase your capacity for intimacy. But the idea is to trust that the disdain that's there, that's acting as a limiter right now, that you're experiencing as a limiter to intimacy, that's keeping a limit around the intimacy that was always there. So my guess was, even when you were in the religion, you were able to be intimate within this certain circle, within a certain capacity. Now you're saying, I'm growing. I want to jump out of this. I want to increase my own capacity within my own self for deeper intimacy in myself. I want to see myself more fully, more clearly, see the truth about life more fully, more clearly. You want to increase your capacity for intimacy. When you do that, a partner may say, but this is where we've stayed and I want to stay here. And I'm going to use disdain and blame to try to keep those limiters. And you're saying, I'm out here now. I want to be able to, yes, I'm okay experiencing intimacy within this realm, but I also want to be able to experience it further out now. My capacity is growing and I want to be able to do that. The disdain is just an attempt to try to limit that. And what you need to trust is that even if it's currently limited in your experience of the relationship itself, because a relationship takes two people, your capacity for intimacy with yourself can continue to grow over time. That may inspire your partner. They may watch you and see, oh yeah, even though I have this story that I want to stay small and stay here, I do feel inspired by what I'm seeing. The only way to do it for you is to go out and live it and trust it, and to trust that your partner can love you and can be at one with you even when they're holding themselves back or wanting to blame you, that on some deeper level, the love is always there, right? The capacity for intimacy may not be what you want yet. And again, you always get to be the one who assesses the safety, and you also get to stand up for your needs. So that's a long answer to a great question. And I hope that something in that is helpful for you. And I just feel really grateful that you shared your question. Okay, so to everyone listening, feel free to continue listening to the podcast. You can also watch the videos if you're interested in the videos. We'll be posting them up. And you can go to advancedrelationshipacademy.com to find out what we're up to get access to the free masterclass, the Intimacy Blueprint Masterclass. And I think that's it for now. So take care, everyone, and I will talk to you soon.